With live uninterrupted coverage of the Ryder Cup from Glen Eagles, this is Live at Ryder Cup Radio on 87.7 FM and across the world on RyderCup.com.
There's a feeling of deja vu on day two of the Ryder Cup 2014. Just like Friday, Saturday at Glen Eagles saw the USA edge the four balls before Europe dominated the afternoon foursomes.
That is it. Europe win on the 16th. Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson take it 3-2. And the Europeans have another point on this Saturday morning.
And in it goes. Absolute certainty from Hunter Mahan. A deserved 4-3 win then over Jamie Donaldson and Lee Westwood.
The sense of resignation has to settle in now. More than that, hats are coming off. Handshakes all around. The American team has won. Victory for the team of Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth over Thomas Bjorn and Martin Kaymer.
He sends the putt on its way. He likes the look of it here. Ricky Fowler, he thought he'd hold it. It's going to be a half here. An absolutely sensational game, that.
Played it nicely. Is it going to run up to the pin? It looks very nice. He loves that chip. He loves that chip. It's stone dead, I think, and the hat's come off. And Europe have won this match on the 17th.
That is given. Well done. Fantastic. I am so proud of Victor. This is amazing. C'est énorme. This is enormous. What a beautiful win. What a beautiful victory.
Well, I can hardly hear above the noise, but it's all over here, and it is a concession, of course it is, and Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy have beaten Jim Furyk and Hunter Mahan.
Forward it goes from Justin Rose, and it's in.
The arm was in the air the minute he hit it. Centre of the hole from a nerveless Justin Rose, and this remarkable seesaw match ends as maybe it should. It's a half between Rose and Kaymer and Spieth and Reed. All the analysis and reaction to come from another enthralling second day of the 2014 Ryder Cup from Glen Eagles. Hello and a warm welcome from me, Richard Kaufman, and the rest of the Live at Ryder Cup radio team. Over the next half an hour, we'll be hearing from players from both sides, the likes of Bubba Watson, Ian Poulter, Henrik Stenson and Ricky Fowler, alongside me to chew over the fat on, well, another day, you have to say, that's gone in the end Europe's way. European Tour winner and European Seniors Tour player Paul Ilves, former Ryder Cup player Gordon Brand Jr. and Sue Thurl alongside me as well. It's been another remarkable day, a very similar day, hasn't it been? Because exactly the same scorelines in the four balls and the foursomes that we had on day one. Remember, the Americans won it 2.5 points, 1.5 points yesterday morning, and then Europe won it 3.5 points to a half point in the foursomes. Well, the same happened on Saturday. Quite incredible, wasn't it? And the overall scoreline reads Europe 10 points, the United States of America 6 points as a result. An unassailable lead? Well, we know what happened at Brookline. We know what happened at Medina. Nothing yet that means Tom Watson's team have to give up on this 2014 Ryder Cup. But let's start with the action from this morning, shall we? When, well, I think one of the Ryder Cup matches of all time was out on this Glen Eagles course. Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson took on Bubba Watson and Matt Kuchar. And I don't think I've seen anything like it. Sue, you were out on the course watching this one. A record 21 birdies in the match. A record 12 under par from the European team, who closed out the match with 9 straight birdies. It was just nothing short of remarkable.
It was unbelievable. I mean, Gordon Brown Jr. and I were walking around commentating on that match, and it was like a boxing contest. I described it as such on air because that's exactly what it was. It was thrust and counter thrust, punch and counter punch. And just when you thought a shot couldn't be matched, it was bettered. It was fantastic, Gordon Brown Jr., wasn't it? It was just one of those matches I'm never, ever going to forget. And as the galleries got bigger and bigger, larger and larger, I don't think the fans here at Glen Eagles could believe what they were seeing either.
Well, I don't think anyone could believe it. And actually, it was a great credit to the Americans that the match was only lost 3-2. It shows how good they played as well. You know, they never gave up. I mean, 15 there. I can remember Stenson's hit it and they have hit a 9-iron stone dead. And, I mean, we've got Matt Kuchar off the side of the green there with a little bump and run wedge. Take the pin out and he knocks it in. You think, I just don't know what's happening here. It was birdie, 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 one hole. They all made four birdies. It was ridiculous, but it was so entertaining. And it was almost sad that the Kuchar and Watson had to win because they did play their power in an excellent game of golf. But Stenson and Rose were just too good for them.
Yeah, 3-2, the victory for Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson. That made it 3 points out of three for that duo. Let's get some reaction. Sue spoke afterwards with Justin Rose.
Justin, congratulations. I think you've just played in and won one of the greatest Ryder Cup matches we've ever seen. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I walked off the 15th green. I said to Miguel, who was our vice-captain with our match, and I said, what a match. And then he came up and he's like, a record-breaking match. I didn't know if he was being serious or if he wasn't, but it was just an incredible match. I mean, from start to finish, really. We knew that we were up against it today, Bubba and Kuch. I mean, Kuch is tough, and Bubba played great today, and with the weather being the way it was, birdies were more on the cards than they were yesterday. So, for us to finish with 10 birdies in a row is unheard of.
It's crazy. Could you enjoy it, despite the quality of the golf and the pressure? Could you actually stand back and enjoy it, or were we just going in the moment?
Yeah, I was forcing myself to stay in the moment because, you know, the zone, when you get into that zone, it's so hard to come by and it's so rare that you don't want to burst your bubble, you know. And if you look around too much, you can get distracted. And I felt myself sort of lose it a little bit around, 14, 15 there. And obviously, you know, I was even scrapping my way down the 16th. But to finish with that great sort of wedge shot into the 16th, because, you know, you don't want to let them back into the match at that point. Kuch hold that great shot from the side of the 15th green to keep them alive. And, you know, with a par 5 coming, anything can happen. So if we were one up with two to play, it's still game on. So I really wanted to close them out as soon as possible.
And 3 points out of three, your Ryder Cup record just gets better and better and better. It's fantastic. Have you surprised yourself this weekend so far?
I'm really happy that I've been able to take my game that felt really good in practice and playing all the practice matches this week into the tournament. So it's really good that you, when you can take it to the big occasion, that feels great for me this week.
Well, it was a pleasure to watch. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a really, really impressive match all round. Let's find out what Bubba Watson made of that ridiculous scoring from the Europeans.
They said we were 9, so we did all right. We probably would have beat all the other teams. It's just we had to play against them. It's amazing. 10 in a row from 7 to 16, no pars, all birdies. I mean, we were hanging with them. You know, we made a few birdies in there, but obviously not 10 in a row. So, no, it was, we stretched the match as much as we could. I don't see that there was too much we could do different. I mean, we just got beat today. But, yeah, it was amazing. I mean, when we got done with and had an interview right off the green there on 16, that's just great golf. I think TV... there was not much they could say bad about both groups today. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, well said, Bubba Watson, who then sat out the foursomes in the afternoon. Match two saw some joy for the Americans, though. Jim Furyk and Hunter Mahan beat Jamie Donaldson and Lee Westwood by the scoreline of 4-3. Furyk and Mahan, a big win for Jim, I suppose, because Paul Ilves, who's faced... in the four balls, Lee Westwood 7 times previously. He'd lost 5, halved 2 of those. He must have seen Lee on the tee again and thought, oh my goodness, not you again, but finally got the better of him.
Yeah, so that's a strong pairing, isn't it, Furyk and Mahan in four balls, and they played well. They got up early doors, and there was not a lot Jamie and Lee could do about it. I listened to an interview from Jamie Donaldson, and he said that's just how it was. You know, they'd played okay, but the other side were better, and that's how it goes. But it was a comfortable win, wasn't it, for America, though?
Yeah, 4-3, they were up the whole time, and Ron Jones got to speak to Jim Furyk after the match.
Jim, what a good win. That really was something special.
It was fun. It was nice to get out to a big lead early, three up. We made a key putt on number 9 to stay 3 up, and then my partner, he just played super on the back 9. I didn't really have to do much, but kind of crack the whip and cheer him on.
You were actually 6 under for the front 9. I mean, that's some playing, isn't it?
I felt good. We knocked in a bunch of putts, and that was key. We had a couple holes where we were struggling for pars. We were able to knock in some 5 and 8 footers to stay halved, and then we knocked in some big birdie putts.
Well played.
Thanks.
Yeah, well played indeed. There's no doubt about it. There's two American players who have shone out like a real light for Tom Watson's side. And I suppose the way they performed on day two of this Ryder Cup maybe continues the questions asked to Tom Watson yesterday, and why weren't they picked in the afternoon foursomes on day one? Because once again, Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth turned on the style, didn't they, in their game against Thomas Bjorn and Martin Kaymer. Bjorn and Kaymer started pretty well in that match, but Reed and Spieth, who were so good in their four balls win over Stephen Gallagher and Ian Poulter on day one, well, they were equally impressive on day two, Gordon. In the end, a 5-3 victory. Two rookies, the youngest Ryder Cup partnership in American history. Well, they're no youngsters, are they, in terms of their golf game?
Well, they're very incredibly mature, and Spieth and Reed have had great seasons in America, so it's not a surprise they've come over here and performed. I mean, to be honest, the rookies have performed incredible for the Americans.
Yeah, they have indeed. A 5-3 win then. And at this point of the day, you know, things were looking good for Tom Watson, as they had been on the previous day. America were up. They were getting the kind of start that Tom Watson wanted in day two of this Ryder Cup. A victory for the Americans then in match three. Matt Adams caught up with the American player shortly after they won.
Gents, I have to ask you, what's the inspiration, what's the experience been like for you?
It's been awesome. I mean, we're having a lot of fun. It's easy to have fun when we're rolling together and feeding off each other. You know, that's exactly what we set out to do, and it's been pretty easy for the both of us thus far. But, you know, in a hole early, and we're able to come out of it a little different position than yesterday. So, you know, we know how to handle both, and this afternoon will be a format that we, you know, obviously didn't play yesterday afternoon, but we practiced with. So, you know, we're going to get out there, and it's going to be all about hitting fairways and greens.
Patrick Reed, has it been fun? Has it been what you expected?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely been what I expected. It's been a blast. I mean, anytime you're playing the way we've been playing, you know, it's always nice. And hopefully at the end of the week, we can get the job done and, you know, keep doing our part.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations indeed to Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth. A wonderful win over Thomas Bjorn and Martin Kaymer, who let a lead slip, in the four balls on day one, and they did the same on day two. And how about the final match of the four balls, Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter against Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler? Paul Ilves, you were out on the course watching this one. Ian Poulter pretty much on the sidelines, and then, boy, did he come to life.
Well, he did. He started with two birdies to give the European side a two-up lead. Didn't see much of him. Just played a sort of a supporting role, if you will, to Rory, and Rory kept the team going. But then on 15, he'd hit a poor second shot short of the green. The pin was at the back, some 36 yards on, and Ian Poulter pitched in. Unbelievable shot for a birdie three when Ricky Fowler was no more than 3 feet away. At that time, you're thinking, OK, America going to go at least two up, going down 17. It changed it around. Europe won the 16th and the game was back on. So Ian Poulter, what a difference. Those Ryder Cup eyes again, standing out on stalks when he held that pitch shot. It was amazing.
Yeah, the fist-pumping, eye-popping Poulter, the kind of Poulter, Sue, that, you know, we've been waiting for. He has been waiting for in this Ryder Cup.
Well, goodness me, yes. We didn't see it yesterday, did we, Rich, after that bogey putt on the first in the company of Stephen Gallagher, which rather set the tone for their battering at the hands of Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed yesterday. But today, you felt like Ian Poulter was fighting with himself and fighting with his game, but Paul is absolutely right. From the minute he held that chip in on 15, I think it was, that was the moment that Ian Poulter really came to life at this Ryder Cup. And of course, they went on to claim a really significant half.
Yeah, Europe winning the half point, really, that at one time looked as if it was going to the Americans. A real classic Ryder Cup match, a real pivotal game, you felt, going into the afternoon foursomes. Let's get some reaction. First from the Europeans, Dave Farah caught up with Ian and Rory.
Ian, you first of all, was today the day this Ryder Cup came alive for you, do you think?
Well, obviously, yes, it was a disappointment for me. You know, taking that beating was obviously not very nice, and obviously want to come out and make amends today. I got off to a quick start, fell asleep through the middle, Rory took over, and then a cheeky chip in really at 15, which was the right time. You know, Ricky did a great shot in there to probably about 6 feet, looking like, you know, taking the match two up with three to play. But things turn around like that. We hold that shot, we birdie 16, and we get a half out of the match, and that half, you know, is pretty important.
I think the world and his wife will ask you about the chipping on 15, Ian, but Rory had a pretty good view of it as well. It was spectacular, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. But nothing surprises me anymore with this guy, especially at the Ryder Cup. It was just one of those shots that looked, you know, he had a better view of it than I did. I was a little bit sort of a side view, but, you know, down the line it looked nowhere else from about 10 feet. So, you know, it's great to have a partner like that that can deliver when he needs to, and we're just delighted to get a half out of that match.
Yeah, it was more drama down 18. I'll let you chaps get on, but thanks very much indeed for your time, Ian and Rory. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Yeah, terrific match. Great to hear from the guys as well. Let's hear from the two Americans, starting with Ricky Fowler.
It was a good match. You know, it was nice to. We made some more birdies today, and obviously we needed it against Rory and Ian. So it's nice to have a putt for the match there at the last. Maybe a little outside the range that you're used to making, but again, it was a chance and felt like I hit a decent putt, just needed to hit a little harder.
And Jimmy, enjoying life out there in this Ryder Cup?
It's pretty fun, I gotta admit. It's everything I've wanted it to be. Had a great partner, one of the best in the world, and you can't ask for much more.
Yeah, three matches for Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler all went down the 18th. Incredible for them. And also, they went out in the afternoon foursomes as well. We should, at this point in the juncture, tell you the scoreline after the four balls read 6.5 points to Europe, 5.5 points to the United States of America. So who would Tom Watson put out in the afternoon foursomes, or who would he leave out, I think, is the more pertinent question. And for the first time in 10 appearances, Phil Mickelson spent a whole Ryder Cup day without hitting a golf shot. Paul Ilves, are you surprised Phil Mickelson didn't have any kind of part to play Saturday at the Ryder Cup?
Yes, very much so. Keegan Bradley, did he sit out all the matches as
he
well?
He did, and also another player who didn't play today, Webb Simpson. So two of the captain's picks sat it out for Tom Watson.
No surprise with Webb, because he had a pretty awful day yesterday morning. But yeah, massively surprised when you've got the experience, the charisma, the skills, what Phil Mickelson brings to a team. And I think it was a bit sad for the fans not to see him. I was watching Phil walking down the fairways. That's not really where I want to see
Phil
Mickelson.
He was listening to Live at Ryder Cup Radio,
I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to see him play some amazing shots, you know, into the crowd, then escape. That's the type of thing. But yes, the answer to your question, I was very surprised we didn't see Phil playing today.
Yeah, 14 holes. That's all Webb Simpson's played so far in this Ryder Cup, Gordon. It's going to be tough for him going in the singles tomorrow. He'll be fresh, but he's not going to be very confident, is he?
Well, no, because he really didn't get hold of his game at all. He started off with roofed it, really, which means it was straight up in the air. It didn't go very far off the first thing. He just didn't seem to, not get into it, but he just didn't seem to be able to control himself. And he had an awful appearance. But it is a surprise he hasn't played since. You would think you would give them another chance in the four ball or something, maybe to get his confidence up. But, I mean, Phil, I don't understand Phil at all why he's not played.
Yeah, and also, Sue, you have to say, I know given the scoreline at the end of Saturday, it makes it slightly easier for Paul McGinley to justify his decisions. But let's not forget, Stephen Gallagher as well hasn't played that much golf this
week. Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking that as you were talking to Gordon about Webb Simpson, who didn't play well yesterday. Stephen Gallagher didn't have the best of Ryder Cup debuts. He enjoyed the atmosphere and playing in front of Scottish fans, but he will be the first to admit he didn't really fire yesterday. We haven't seen him since. So he's going to have to come out tomorrow in the singles and try and find his game in some shape or form. But this is, of course, where the strategy comes in tomorrow, where you put your players who've played a lot, who haven't played very much, where you think the opposition might do the same thing. I mean, it's always fascinating, isn't it, when those singles lineups come out and we see who is going to take on who. Europe, of course, and you need 4 more points, Rich, don't they, to retain the Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. The USA have got a mountain to climb, but it's not impossible, as we know.
Well, the reason why they need 4 more points to retain the Ryder Cup is because of the way the afternoon foursomes went. Starting with match number one, Jamie Donaldson and Lee Westwood overcoming Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar. I had the pleasure of being out on the course with Gordon Brown Jr. For that one. Donaldson and Westwood played beautifully together to win their match in the foursomes on day one. Similar story for them on day two. every time the Americans try to get back at them, Westwood and Donaldson just found another gear, Gordy.
They've made some serious clutch putts out there today, some up and downs. And I just think they were just that little tiny thing, that just the right things happen at the right moment just to stop the tide of the Americans trying to push it back to level. They were always up, and it just panned out just at the end. It was a tight match.
Donaldson and Westwood, 5 under par. Mm. In foursomes, that's impressive.
It was incredibly impressive. But they only won on 17. So again, the Americans would be sitting there saying, actually, we've had a good foursomes game, but we lost our game. But it's just little tiny things. But I think Donaldson, as a rookie, has played exceptional. He has been brilliant. And actually, he's played better than his partners.
Well, I caught up with the pair of them, Donaldson and Westwood, on the green after their win. Lee Jamie, congratulations. A wonderful victory. It was never going to be easy, but they really made you fight for that, Lee.
Yeah, never is easy. Never is easy to win a point in the Ryder Cup. And, Saturday afternoon's a big time, and we want to go out there and try and put as much blue on the board, and we managed to do that.
Jamie, you got Lee Westwood on your shoulder. He showed in previous Ryder Cups with the likes of Cole Sarts and Kaimer. He takes rookies under his wing. He's a good man to have on board, I take it.
You could say that. We gelled really well in the foursomes matches we've played. I mean, we played pretty decent this morning, but not quite well enough. But in foursomes, we seemed to bring out the best in each other. We played really solid yesterday and today. So, yeah, very happy.
I know you're playing for Europe, Lee. It's a team game. But to get 23 Ryder Cup points now, overtaking Seve Ballesteros, that must mean something.
Yeah, it does, obviously. Getting quite emotional because Seve was special to everybody, so to go past his toll means a lot.
Well, listen, congratulations and well played.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had to stop the interview there and then because Lee actually was welling up in tears. Just the mention of Seve Ballesteros and him beating that record now, he's only just a couple of points short of Nick Fowler in terms of the all-time record in Ryder Cup points. It's something very personal, and it just shows you the passion the team have, Gordon, for a player like Seve Ballesteros and what he means to the European Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, I think Seve showed incredible passion and desire for the Ryder Cup, and it was easy for the players to pick up on that, and it transmitted through the team.
And still does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and Seve could almost be a bit of a nuisance because it meant so much, but you were sucked into it, where a lot of other guys, you know, it's a Ryder Cup, I'm going to play as well as I can, but Seve saw it totally different. No, it is much more important than that. You know, you don't just go in and expect to play well. You know, we need to have some drive and passion and some purpose to it. And so he drove the team, and I think anybody who plays in the Ryder Cup from now until eternity, most of it has been driven by Seve Ballesteros.
And let's not forget that the first Ryder Cup that Lee Westwood played with was 1997, Valderrama, where his captain was one Seve Ballesteros. Congratulations to Lee Westwood on getting to that many points as a European Ryder Cup player. Well, the best match in the afternoon, arguably, in terms of competitiveness, in terms of drama, came in match number 2. Martin Kaimer and Justin Rose playing Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed, the dynamic duo, I suppose you can call them, of the American team. And for much of that match, it was the Americans who were leading. It got tenser and nervier towards the end. Spieth had a chance to put the Americans 2 up with 2 to play. Mr. Tiddler, I'm talking a putt you'd expect him to be in given at the 16th. They bounced back, though. It went to all square, and they won the 17th, 1 up with 1 to play, and the Americans couldn't quite get it over the line. Kaimer and Rose finding a birdie at the last hole. So on an afternoon that everything was blue, this was the one shining light, wasn't it, for America? And you have to feel a big blow for them that they couldn't get over that line and pick up a point for Tom Watson's team.
Oh, I think that was a hammer blow, Rich, to be honest with you. If you could see the faces of the American players, the vice captains, and the captain, Tom Watson, as well, who were all gathered around that green, hoping that they could celebrate at least 1 point, salvage a point from the afternoon foursomes, just to give them a little bit of momentum in a match which, as you rightly say, had ebbed and flowed. It had gone largely the way of the Americans. And let's not forget, Martin Kaimer missed a couple of very short putts as well. He won't like to look at those again on the highlights later on this evening. But the fact that the Europeans came back at them again on the last and managed to get a half, salvage a half in that match, I think that could be huge in terms of momentum. And we talk about momentum in Ryder Cups and Ryder Cup matches, and I do think that could be pivotal when we reflect on what is to come tomorrow.
Yeah, just to say, I think I said it was Jordan Spieth, of course, it was Patrick Reed who missed that short putt. Mm. Gordon, you were going to say something there?
Yes, I think Sue was saying how that it almost looks like it almost looks like it drains out of the people, doesn't it? You know, that America are not having a very good afternoon. Europe having a great afternoon. It was almost as like, well, it was almost sure that Europe were going to win that point because America were having such a bad time and everybody's coming out to either console the players, which that was the US point, where the Europe, they were all bouncing around. They were really pleased. They were getting emotional. And I think it's how it goes, isn't it? And you can just see the pattern of almost disappointment. Oh, here we go. You know, we're going to get this. But then from the other team, the Europeans, are going, oh, you'll get a half here. We're really going well. You know, and you can see the difference in bubbly and almost being drained out of you.
It was rather apt because this was the final putt of the day that it was Justin Rose, given that he is the top point scorer so far in this Ryder Cup. 3.5 points he has won for his team now that hold that winning, well, not winning putt, but that putt that halved the match for Europe there. A birdie 4 at the last. Let's hear from Rose about sinking that one on 18.
My partner was very clear with me. He said we deserve half a point out of this, and you know there was no other option really. And you know I think that really helped me. So some credit there. And it was the only putt I made all day. We had a bit of a hard time getting the ball up and down today. We definitely had a lot of unforced errors, but as did the other team. It wasn't easy out there. It's a hard, you know, foursomes on a windy day like this around a golf course like this can be tricky. And both of us, you know, both teams found it tough today.
Yeah, it was a tough one, wasn't it, Martin? It felt like mistakes on either side. Both of you hanging on in there.
Yeah, but what Justin said, you know, it's very, very difficult to play for some sometimes, and you do make mistakes. And a couple, you know, unfortunately, on my side, you know, I made a couple bad swings here and there, and then I missed a couple of putts. It happens. But what I said to Justin, you know, no one really wanted to win that match, but half a point, we have to get it. We have to get it. We deserve it. And that was a big one that Justin made that putt. I know how much pressure it is. So, I mean, I'm very proud of him. He did well.
Yeah, not too bad, was he? Justin Rose, great performance so far. I hope he's got a bit of energy left for the Sunday singles. Match number 3 was Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy reunited after not quite getting the business done on day one. They came up against Jim Furyk and Hunter Mahan. Paul Ilves, you're out there watching that match. 3-2 victory from the Europeans. How impressive were Garcia and Rory?
Well, they're the number one and number three players in the world. So, yes, they're impressive just to look at them. Wasn't fantastic golf. It was scrappy golf. They were always just ahead. And 3-2 was quite a, well, it doesn't really say that the game was as close as it was. It says like it was a comfortable win in the end, but it actually wasn't that way. It could have gone either way. Jim Furyk and Hunter Mahan were just hole in putts. They were keeping it going. The Europeans were missing one or two shots and holes that you thought we can win this and become more comfortable. It didn't sort of pan out that way. But yeah, Rory and Sergio, you would expect those guys to get a point for you. And that's what they delivered this afternoon.
Yeah, impressive victory in the end for Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy. Everyone in the European team, Stephen Gallagher apart, contributing in terms of points, although I'm sure Paul McGinley will point out to the contributions the Scot has made to the team as a whole. The final of the foursomes match, we'll hear about what happened there in a moment, but let's hear first of all from the winning duo, Garcia and McIlroy, who spoke with Ron Jones.
Rory, you've had a long, hard day, but my goodness me, what a good win.
Yeah, this was a great one. It was nice to put that first full point on the board for Europe, and couldn't think of a better man to do it alongside than Sergio. But yeah, we came out today, we both played a lot better, which is, you know, very important. And we started well, and then the middle of the round we were sort of couldn't really get anything going, but then we finished off the round well, so it was great to get a point on the board and inch our way closer to regaining this, retaining this Ryder Cup.
And the reaction's fantastic.
Yeah, just awesome. You know, yeah. It's great. You know, anytime you win a point for Europe in the Ryder Cup is a huge thrill, and to be able to do it in front of all these people as well is even better.
Sergio, it was tight all the way. I know you had a good start, but they were great opponents, weren't they?
Yeah, no, they fought hard, and I mean, Rory played amazing, and they kept it really tight. I mean, we had a couple of good chances on 11 at 12 to go two up, and we didn't manage to get those. And then, finally, we were able to win 14 with a great birdie, and here on 16, so I couldn't be happier.
And last not least, Graham McDowell and Victor Dubuisson, the European pair, the Frenchman and the Northern Irishman, seeing off what has to have been a rather tired Jimmy Walker and Ricky Fowler. I mentioned earlier they had three matches that went to the 18th. This one only got as far as the 14th because Dubuisson and McDowell, well, they stormed ahead from the very word go. They were five up after just seven holes, or eight holes, I should say, and it was a lead they were never to rescind. Dubuisson and McDowell, some questioning why Paul Ilves, they weren't playing in the morning four balls. Well, I think we got the afternoon result that Paul McGinley was expecting.
Well, that's right. It's a long week. And if we could just go back to the match before with Jim Furyk, he'd played in the morning today. He'd played yesterday afternoon. And he had one or two tired shots toward the end, which maybe was the difference in the American side not gaining a point or half a point there. But Paul McGinley's been thinking about this for a very, very long time, and he knows that GMAC can get Victor round, and he wants to ease Victor in. It's his first, and he's, by all accounts, played fantastic golf.
Well, that rounds up what has been, I suppose, another special day for European fans. It's not all done and dusted. 10-6 the lead. That's the lead Europe had, of course, at Brookline in 1999, and of course then in 2012 at Medina, we know the Americans had a 10-6 lead, so it's not done and dusted. Also at Valderrama, 10.5, 5.5 the Europeans led, and they only just got over the line. Anything can still happen at this 2014 Ryder Cup, but 7 out of 8 in foursomes is a Ryder Cup record for Europe. Well, what a couple of days. The good news is one more day of drama to come, and you can hear it all on 87.7 FM on the course, on the Ryder Cup website, the official Ryder Cup app, the TuneIn app, and across the whole of North America on Sirius XM satellite radio. Our team are going to be with you from the very first tee shot till that golden trophy is lifted aloft. From Gordon Brown Jr., from Ron Jones, from Sue Thurl, and all our team, we cannot wait to bring you the Sunday showdown. Glory at Glen Eagles awaits. From all the live at Ryder Cup Radio team, from me, Richard Kaufman, bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Ryder Cup Radio on 87.7 FM and around the world on RyderCup.com.